Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack. And in today's installment, we're going to be chatting with Lori Posch from the St. Cloud School District in regards to Governor Wall's recent announcement that the school buildings will not be opening up again for this school year. But as Lori will tell you, that doesn't mean school is closed. It just means that there's been an incredible paradigm shift in the way that education is being handled in the face of the stay-at-home order put in place due to the COVID-19 outbreak. But we're going to talk about more than just distance learning. We're also going to talk about resources for parents, students, and teachers, as well as what the school district has planned for all the numerous other programs and details, like sports, prom, and graduation, that folks normally associate with the end of the school year. Because this year, it's going to be different. But by now, we all know that and are grappling with it as best we can. So, Lori, welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. And how about we just start off with, well, what exactly do you do for the school district? And, well, how are things going?
Thanks for having me today. I am the Executive Director of Learning and Teaching for the St. Cloud School District. And it sounds like a big title, and it kind of is. It encompasses everything that has to do with either learning for our students or teaching for our teachers. So my department does all of the professional development for our licensed staff, the renewal of licenses. We do the review of all of the content and the books and the lessons. I have the EL department, or the multilingual department within our department. So we really touch on every aspect of what happens in our district for our students learning and our teachers teaching.
Yeah, so basically every part of your job has been affected by the COVID situation.
Absolutely. Every part of it.
Yep. Well, how about we start off maybe with something, you know, for the parents? You know, how is the distance learning going? What's some of the feedback that you've heard? What are some suggestions that you might have?
That's a really good question. And I think that one of our goals is, of course, always as we look at our mission statement, to make sure that we are meeting the needs of every one of our students. Mm-hmm. And for parents, I really want our parents to understand that nobody is expecting them to be the teachers. And just like we have all been put into different roles with different responsibilities, our parents have as well. And schools have been that center for a lot of our families, for not just the learning, but for the social-emotional aspects, for lunches. And we want our parents to know that their job really is to parent. And our hope is that they don't take the burden on of having to educate, but that they're there to support our schools in doing that. A lot of times I'm asked by parents, what are some good hints or what are some tips? What should I be doing? And as we have talked with parents, the things that we're seeing that are helping our parents be most successful are things that are kind of those basics. So it's making sure that you're keeping somewhat of a routine for your child. We're finding that our children who get up at about the same time every day and have the same bedtime, whether that's a school bedtime and get up time or one that's been established by the family, really helps our students get in that mode for learning. Okay, this is my schedule. This is when I get up. I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to log on to the computer. I'm going to check my assignments at certain times during the day. And then as much as possible, if you can designate an area that's your child's school area, so they have a spot that's just theirs, whether it's just putting their iPad there so they know where it is every day, or if it's, you know, some parents have gone to the measures of setting up a desk and a learning station. For each family in each situation, that's going to look differently. But having a spot that the school, that the child can call their school area is really helpful. Regular check-ins with teachers. And I think that's one of the things that I'm hearing from parents quite a bit right now, is they're very thankful and grateful for the contacts that they're getting from the schools. And we want to make sure that our parents feel real comfortable in doing that too. So if a child is struggling for some reason, whether it's getting access or it's trying to figure out the work, don't let it go on too long. Reach out to your child's school as soon as you can to get any help that you need.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that, you know, they're wanting to help. They're, because everybody's kind of in the same boat. This is a strange situation. And, you know, what you said about just establishing a routine, I think a lot of adults are beginning to realize that that's pretty important for them, too. I'm kind of speaking for myself.
I think it helps our own mental health.
Mm-hmm.
By being able to, you know, have somewhat of a normalcy in this crazy time.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, yeah. Just having that routine, it really does help. How are the teachers doing? What have you heard from them?
I cannot say enough about our teachers. Our teachers have gone over and above, I think, any of our expectations. I feel like we were in a good place in our district to be able to implement this. Not that any of us would have hoped for this, but at our secondary schools, we'd already had some practice with this. So our teachers had already practiced Schoology with their students. You know, we had the Apollo Fire, and we started the year off last year with our students almost practicing this in a sense. So our secondary teachers especially were somewhat comfortable with this. Our elementary teachers have just jumped right in as we established Seesaw as kind of our common platform. Our teachers have dug in and learned. The one thing that I hear over and over from our teachers is that word learn, how much they've learned. And I think that just shows the value that our teachers place on their own education as well. So they're doing well. The lessons that they're planning, they are putting in many, many hours to make sure that our students have what they need, not just in lessons, but in that personal outreach. And I think what I hear most from our teachers is how much they miss their students. This can never replace that face-to-face daily contact and that energy that our teachers receive from their students. So the biggest piece is how much they miss and they care about their students.
Absolutely. That's kind of some of the feedback I've gotten as well, just from meeting with the students that I meet with online. You know, I just ask them how their day is going and how things are and, you know, anything they want to say. Just conversation. That's usually how we kind of roll with what we do. And, yeah, one after another, they all miss being there. And they miss having, you know, just seeing their friends or seeing random people in the hallway or just all those little things that, well, that make up what school is. And
right.
I think a lot, and it's somewhat surprising sometimes how mindful some of these kids can be, some of these students that, I mean, you know, there's some behaviors here and there, but then all of a sudden, not anymore, I guess you could say, with the exact example I'm thinking of in my head. All of a sudden, this guy's just, you know, in a way, just turned it around. He's doing his assignments. He's engaged in school. He's liking this, except he misses his friends and he misses seeing his teachers. And that's kind of heartwarming in that sense. You know, yeah, everybody's struggling, but at the same time, you know, so this is making an impression upon the students and, well, the teachers and everybody else too. This is a unique situation. So I guess we just have to address it in a unique way. It kind of what it seems like what the district is going about here now that we're not coming back this school year, are we?
We are not. I think that I hear a lot of places say school's closed for the rest of this year. And school isn't closed. You know, our buildings are closed. Our school buildings are closed, but school is not closed. And we will continue to teach our students. We'll continue to outreach to meet the needs of our students. So even though it's different, school's not closed. We're still here, and we will be here through the end of the school year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, why don't we talk about some of those, since the buildings are going to be closed, some of the things that affects. There was a family guide that was sent out from the school district kind of outlining how the district is going to be, well, you know, kind of rolling with this. You want to address some of the points that you all have brought up in there.
Sure. And I think I'll start right at the beginning of that, because it's a question that we get asked a lot by our families is, when can I get my things? Mm-hmm. So we have students who still have clothing in their lockers. They still have some of their books at school. They still have some of those items there. For secondary, at the beginning, we were able to open it up for students to come in and get things like their instruments and those pieces. But there are still items in lockers and in desks. And we want to be real mindful of that. We know that we have some families who need the items in there, and then we have some families who want the items in there. And those are both important requests. So we have designated for our elementary families from on May 7th from 12 in the afternoon until 8 at night, and from May 8th from 8 in the afternoon or 8 in the morning until 4 at night. And then for our secondary from May 11th or on May 11th from 12 in the afternoon until 8 at night, and May 12th from 8 until 4 for our families to come in and pick up their items. So at our elementary schools, all of the items will be put in bags. So our teachers and paraprofessionals will be going in, bagging up the students' items, labeling the bags, and then our families just need to drive up and say their name, and the items will be brought to their vehicles. For our secondaries, we know that especially our gym and activities lockers, we want to make sure that our high school students can come in and get those items for themselves. So their main locker will be bagged up, but if they have anything in their gym or activities lockers, they can actually come in and get those themselves. Our families that do, our students that do go into the building will have to be screened. So they will have temperature checks, be asked if they have colds and things like that to make sure that we're keeping the building safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why don't we talk about maybe some of the end of the year activities? Let's kind of go down the list of, of the guidelines. It's nice outline somebody put together. It might have been a teacher that put that together. I don't know.
It actually was our superintendent's cabinet. So, with listening to many parents and many teachers.
Well, that was part of the. I'm kind of curious about the decision making processes too, because I mean, that's the thing that I'm really curious about. You know, one is, you know, my other job is with the school district here too, and mm-hmm. it's just like, well, how are these decisions being made? And you know, where's the information coming? What's the process? I think a lot of people kind of want to know that too. Is just, you know, it's like, well, I mean, because a lot of this is also, it's out of your hands, because you know the governor is saying one thing and everybody is, you know, for certain going along for safety, but on the other hand, it's just kind of like, well, there's no template. There's no best practices because we've never been here before. So can you maybe walk us through a little bit of some of that decision-making process, and then I know we can kind of come back to the checklist.
It's
here
funny
too.
You said that. I was talking to somebody today and they said, well, if I just knew, you know, just tell us what to do. And there isn't a right or wrong answer for any of this. You know, this is brand new for everybody worldwide, and we are kind of building the plane as we're flying. Like I said, I think we were in a situation where we at least had some of the pieces in place already, so that really helped us out to be able to move forward. None of these decisions that are made lightly. Every decision that's made by the superintendent, by the superintendent's cabinet, and by building principals are made with a lot of thought and a lot of foresight. So we have quite a few different lenses that we run things through depending on what it is. So I can speak from our learning and teaching lens. We gather feedback from, we have a couple of groups. So I have my learning and teaching team that consists of directors and then coordinators for the different content levels. And each content in each grade level has what's called a building content team. So we have a social studies building content team. And those teams are made up of teachers. So a lot of our decisions we run through our learning and teaching team and then through our teacher reps so that we're getting feedback from the buildings and the teachers on decisions that we're bringing forth for recommendations. We have done parent, staff, and student surveys. and have looked real closely at the results that have come back from those, really looking at that advice and taking into consideration what each of those groups are saying is working and isn't working. Our principal groups meet at least once a week to just talk through what are things that need to be on everybody's radar, how can we communicate this carefully to our staff. I think the one thing that we're really trying hard to do is communicate, and having that be a two-way communication so that we're listening to feedback from all of the stakeholders and we're sharing out those decisions once they've been made.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Today we've got Lori Posch, Executive Director of Learning and Teaching for the St. Cloud School District on the line. And we're talking about as many of the details as we can regarding the district's shift into distance learning as the stay-at-home order for the COVID-19 outbreak will have school buildings closed for the remainder of the school year. And as we get back into it, we talk about just how complicated that really is. It's such a system at work, you know, and it's, I imagine you know very well, you know, just how many moving parts are there within a school district, and, you know, from, you know, the bus drivers and the custodians to, you know, the lunch and the counselors and the teachers and everything all the way up to the superintendent. You know, all these moving parts have to be taken into consideration. And, you know, during a normal school year, that's, you know, everything, when everything's working, you can tell. But with,
I think one of the words that we've been using a lot through all of this is grace.
Yeah.
And making sure that we are giving other people grace, but also giving ourselves grace through this.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, as much as we try to think through everything we know, there may be things that don't work or things that we have to reflect on and make some revisions. And, you know, family members who say, I just can't, you know, this just right now isn't working for my family. And to give everybody grace that everybody is doing exactly what they can do at this moment.
Yeah, because there's always an exception to the rule because we don't even know what the rules are.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And then knowing that everybody is there and ready to help work through those exceptions.
Absolutely. Well, let's see. So speaking of grace, let's transition into like the various kinds of testing that's going on. What's going on with all that? The different kind of tests that are being, that, you know, people get used to and that they're taking. And also we've got like, you know, the ACT coming up and the Accuplacer and those kind of things.
So almost all of the assessments, the larger assessments for the year, have been called off. The MCA test, which is the test that the state gives every year, the state received a waiver from the federal government, so there will not be any MCA testing this spring. The ACT test, students who registered for that test can get refunds through our department, and then the family communications, there is email addresses on there for the people to request that. We haven't heard yet from ACT when they will be rescheduling that. Usually they have a couple of sessions in the summer, and again, that will just all be dependent on what we hear from the governor about whether or not those options will be available for our students, but we will not have it in our school like we usually do in the spring. The Accuplacer as well, we usually do the Accuplacer on the same day as we do ACT, and students who registered for that will have their fees refunded. Trying to think if there's other assessments. Those are probably the main ones. When we think about assessments that teachers do, we're just asking teachers to really think about what it is that they need for students to demonstrate knowledge, and that doesn't mean it's always a paper-pencil test. But what are other ways that students right now can demonstrate their knowledge of what they've learned?
There you go. I hear a lot of families are having their young students bake and make dinner as a math homework. So
that's right. That's where the real learning is. Day-to-day things. That's the application piece.
Yeah. When they're saying, I'm never going to use this algebra in my entire life, you could be like, oh, really? Let me show you. Oh, yes. Teachable moments. Now, it looks like for a lot of the fees and other things that are going on, I think the school district, what it looks like is everybody is going to be kind of rolling those into, you know, different lunch accounts that, can be accessed. How is all that coming together?
Right. And I think we have a good system in place for all of that. I know our spring activities will be automatically refunded to families. So our activities directors at all of our buildings are working on that right now with their clerical staff to make sure that those get mailed out. And then lunch accounts, our typical end of the year process for that is that any funds remaining in the lunch account just get rolled over for the next year. If a family needs that money now, they can request a refund of that as well. And for seniors, they usually have the option to transfer their lunch account to a sibling's account, or we have the option to request a refund. And last year, we started an option for families to donate their remaining balance to an angel fund that helps provide funding for some of our families who can't afford their meals. A few options there for that.
Yeah. Now, is the school district still providing lunches off the buses to some of the kids out in the neighborhoods? Is that still going on?
That is still going on. And I listen to the stories and I see the pictures, and I drove by one day just to be able to see the excitement. And our staff, I don't know if you've seen any of the postings about it, but again, our staff has just risen to the occasion, and the people that we have volunteering, we have had to put our volunteers on rotations because we had so many people volunteering to help make lunches and deliver lunches and bake them, and it is just such a gift that we're able to continue to do that for our families and support them that way.
Oh, absolutely, and it gives the staff a chance to reconnect with some of the students out there too. I did that for a little while until my actual job came calling. You know, so like, hey, we got stuff for you to do. Oh, okay. So, but that's kind of what it's like. You just try to help out somehow until somebody was like, okay, we've got something for you now, and then there we go. You get swept up into it once again. But
and well, I think that's one of the gifts of education, is that people who are in education are in it for our students, and they will do anything and everything they can to meet the needs of our students. You know, we have staff who are making masks and the delivering of the lunches, and that's what we're about. We're about taking care of our kids. We work with a group of students. Last year was our first year, and it's students who are thinking about careers in education, and we did a week-long camp at St. Cloud State. That could be another story for you.
Ooh,
that was really
good.
It was a future teacher academy, and I had one of the students reach out to me last week and saying how she really hopes that next summer, students still get to do it and how meaningful it was to her.
Yeah.
And then she said, Lori, if there's a bus that can take us back to 2019, will you sign me up for it?
Yeah.
I thought, oh, how we would all love to hop on that bus right now.
Oh, I know. I know. Oh, yeah.
I think that, you know, our students can learn so much from each other and are such excellent role models. The more things we can do like that, the better for both our younger students and for them.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So are there any plans for graduation? That's one thing we haven't touched on yet.
That's still being determined at this time. There is a committee that has been meeting. So there are parents involved in that decision and some input, as well as students. So I know there is a graduation committee at each of our high schools, and Lori Putnam, who is our assistant superintendent for secondary, has been coordinating all of that. They have a few ideas out there right now, and they are working through all those details. So nothing definite planned yet.
Yeah, it is summertime. That's kind of like, you know, summer school. It's just kind of like, well, we'll see. And there's, yeah.
Right. You know, and I think we just want to make sure that we recognize our seniors and that there is something that's done at the district level to really recognize that accomplishment and to celebrate them.
Yeah, I think that's another one of those things that everyone, you know, literally around the world is dealing with, or at least, you know, the American system of education is, well, there's a whole class that they didn't get the things everyone else did. And, you know, what does that do? I mean, what, we don't even know yet. All of a sudden, there's this big gap. And that's kind of a, you know, that's, you know, I think that's one of those things that kind of comes back to, you know, how the Family Guide has ended almost with like a list of links to mental health support.
Right.
You know, because it's like we can point out these things, but then once you think about it, you can think about the gravity of that. You know, what if you didn't have prom? What if you didn't have graduation? You didn't have anything for those last, what, 4 months worth of school, basically? You know, what does that do? And how can you do something?
Right. And knowing that it impacts every individual differently. Mm-hmm. You know, there are, like you said earlier, there are some students who are thriving with this and who are loving the online piece and the interactions that they're able to do through devices. And there are other students and teachers who are struggling with this, who need that personal interaction. And that's the same for our graduates as it is for our preschoolers and our kindergartners. And we know that we want to continue to work with our community partners to provide the supports for whatever those needs are for our families.
Nice. Now, the other school districts right around this area, do you think that they're kind of following a similar path? Or have you noticed that there's anything different about how everybody is going about this?
You know, I think every district is going to respond a little differently depending on the students that they have and the staff that they have. We're really fortunate that I work real closely with people in similar positions in Sauk Rapids Rice and in Sartell. So we are in contact with each other several times a week to try to give some consistency to our community, but also just bouncing ideas off of each other. And I know that there are several networks. I know our director of communications is in a statewide organization. And people right now have really stepped up to collaborate, to share ideas so that we're not all having to create it ourselves.
Yeah, we're not all inventing different kinds of wheels, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oof. Well, anything else you want to chat about what's going on with the district and having no physical schools for the remainder of the school year?
I would just say that, you know, our hashtag that we've been using is we've got this. Mm-hmm. And I really feel and believe that we've got this. It's not an ideal situation, but it's one of the things that our district has done over and over and over again. When we are met with a challenge or met with an obstacle, we rise up and we overcome it and we learn from it and are better in the end. So grateful to our many, many community partners, to our families, and to our staff.
All right. Well, thanks for chatting with me today, Lori.
You are welcome. Call it anytime.
And we've been talking with Lori Posch, Executive Director of Learning and Teaching for the St. Cloud School District. For links to more information on the COVID-19 preparations and strategies by the St. Cloud School District, you can find it online at isd742.org. Or if you're a parent and you've provided an accurate personal email to the school district, you can check your email, where you'll find the district's family guide has been emailed to you. If you didn't get it in email, you should maybe get a hold of the school district and update that. Your students and their teachers will thank you. If you're not part of the St. Cloud School District, by all means, check with your own district to see how things are panning out. You might find that they're kind of similar. And for a broader look at what people are doing all over the nation, log on to Twitter and check out hashtag WeVeGotThis, and you'll be surprised at how much it warms your heart. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack. And in full disclosure, not only am I employed by KVSE Radio, but also the school district. And I tell you, I miss the kids too. So remember, when you're all at home with the distance learning, this is unique for everyone. So just do what you can, keep everyone healthy, and we'll pick up the pieces next school year. Because right now, the difference we're all making in the world is literally preventing people from getting sick, and it's saving lives. The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of Amper's Diverse Radio, for Minnesota's communities.